The Random Jottings of Hinton Brackett with Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Brackett. With Daphne Hurd as Maud and friends and neighbours at Stacton Trestle in Harping on It.
The musical life of Stacton Trestle, if not exactly rich, is certainly varied and frequently outré. Last week, for example, there was a town hall concert devoted to works by Beethoven and Gluck, arranged for Spanish guitar, Chinese blocks, nose flute, and spoons. The Musical Appreciation Society recently sponsored two talks, respectively titled The Pentatonic Scale in Irish Folk Music, that ended up in a fight, and Falsetto Singing Without Recourse to Artificial Aids. That ended up in some confusion. But, as Evadne says, the town's greatest musical asset remains undisputed. It's us. And she's not the only one with that opinion. It's mine as well. Our music emporium goes from strength to strength, and we recently attended an auction sale to buy new stock, though Evadne seemed less than happy with the box of bric-a-brac with which we returned.
It's nothing but a load of rubbish, Hilda.
You wouldn't say that if you'd bought it.
I wouldn't have bought it.
Evadne, what earthly purpose is served by us standing round the emporium, looking at something we've just bought, arguing about which one of us wouldn't have bought it if the other one hadn't?
You should never have waved at that auctioneer, Hilda.
Well, I could hardly ignore him, dear.
Well, you had up till then.
Well, I knew that I'd seen him somewhere before, and then suddenly I remembered where it was. He played Baba Mustafa in the Operatic Society's production of Chu Chin Chow last year, remember?
Perfectly.
He was a wonderful Baba Mustafa. He sang the cobbler's song absolutely beautifully. I mean, I've seen a lot of cobblers in my time. But his, I doubt if I'll ever see the like of it again.
Still no need to wave at him, Hilda.
I didn't wave, dear. I mean, not really. I simply raised my hand and wiggled a few fingers.
It would have been better if you'd stood on a soapbox, stuck your arm in there, and shouted, "Cooey!" At least that couldn't have been mistaken for a bid.
Oh, don't make such a fuss. It was only a few pounds. And the tea chest itself will come in handy.
For what?
Oh, we could keep tea in it.
You bought a pig in a poke, and you know it.
And what if I have? We haven't got one, have we?
Have a look and see what's in it, then.
Very well, then. And you'll be surprised. You mark my words. You'll just see if you're not. Oh, yes. Oh, I can see something here that's going to be a big surprise to you for a start.
What's that?
A boomerang.
Hilda, what in heaven's name are we going to do with a boomerang? And don't say throw it and wait for it to come back.
Well, in that case, I don't know what we're going to do with it. Oh, but here's something you can wear while you're thinking about it. Look, it's one of those hats with corks hanging off all round. Now, come on, try it on.
Certainly not.
All right, please yourself. Of course, things Australian don't hold such warm and special memories for you as they do for me, do they, now? You know, I can look at that old hat and that old boomerang, and I'm immediately transported straight back to the summer of 1952 and Digger Carew.
Oh, God.
Remember Digger Carew, do you?
I should jolly well think I do. I remember him turning up at the opera house in Harrogate to see Aida with a beer mug hanging from his belt.
Well, the Australians are very free and easy, Evadne.
I am quite sure, Hilda, that even Australians would not normally hang beer mugs from their belts when they're wearing full evening dress.
Well, Diggle was a bit of a wild one, wasn't he? So exuberantly masculine. Mind, he was always the perfect gentleman when I was concerned. He used to treat me like a princess.
What did he do, dear? Wipe the neck of the beer bottle with his hand and then stick a straw in it before he passed it to you.
Oh, I know you didn't take to him, dear, no. But he was such a clever boy. And I really did open his eyes to music, you know. Because by the time he returned to Australia, he could play selections from the ring cycle on his didgeridoo. I should think by now he's probably director of the Sydney Opera House. Oh, dear. Do you know, this has brought it all back. Whatever happened to Dear Digger and 1952?
One can only hope that Dear Digger dug himself a deep hole and jumped into it. Is that all that's in that box? It doesn't seem a lot for £20, does it?
Well, of course it's not all of that. There's a whole lot of music. Oh, and what's this? Oh, it's a little figurine. Oh, isn't that nice?
Well, let me see.
It's hand-carved by the look of it.
Filthy dirty. I think it's coral.
It's probably one of those Aborigine fertility things. You know, you rub it and it rains.
No, the style of the carving is definitely European.
Well, then perhaps you rub it and it clears up.
Pass me that duster, Hilda. I'll see if I can get some of this dirt off.
Very well. There are. I say, that name.
What?
Get down.
Why?
Get down, dear, get down.
Hilda, will you please get up off the floor and stop pulling at my skirt? What has come over you? Rabies?
That man across the road there, wearing the raincoat. The one standing on the curb. Can you see him?
If he's doing what I think he's doing, I'm not going to look.
No, dear, it's that awful little Welshman, do you remember? He wanted to buy my harp and I wouldn't sell it, and he said he'd get it in the end, and I said he wouldn't, and he said he'd be back. Well, he is. Get down, Evadne. Standing there like a stork on a chimney stack. I don't want him to see us.
He's already seen us, Hilda.
What's he doing?
Well, looking somewhat bemused. He's probably wondering why you're down on your knees on the floor pulling at my skirt.
I wonder if he'd notice if I crawl to the door and put the close sign on.
I wouldn't risk it, dear. He might get down on all fours and crawl to meet you. You know the Welsh. They are whimsical.
What are we going to do, then?
I don't know what you're worried about, Hilda. The harp isn't here anyway. It's at home, isn't it?
Yes, but you know him. He'll probably smooth-talk me into trotting off home and humping it down on my back. He has a honey tongue and a heart of gall, and I don't like his Adam's apple.
There is no need to work yourself into a froth, dear. He's going on.
He's what?
He's walking on.
Coming all the way here from Llanfairpwll and not dropping in to say hello.
And does he come from Llanfairpwll?
Well, somewhere around that way, doesn't he, dear? It's Wales. Good heavens, he's back. Down, if that makes it down.
Good morning, Doctor. Well, where's she gone? She was here when I peeked in. She's down behind the counter board, hiding. Have I done something to upset her?
Not unless you've brought a friend from Llanfairpwll with you.
Morning, Maud, dear.
Oh, there you are, Dame Hilda.
And what can we do for you, dear?
You don't happen to have a puncture outfit handy, do you?
This is a music emporium, Maud, not a bicycle repair shop.
It ain't a furniture shop neither, Doctor, but I noticed you've got a chair.
Yes, that's perfectly true, Maud, dear. And were there a demand for it, I'm sure we'd have a puncture outfit as well. But I'm afraid there isn't, so we don't. What's happened?
Well, I've got a puncture.
We guess that much.
That road works up the top there. Do you know they've covered the old road in broken glass?
Well, you know the council there. They're always doing something silly. Probably cheaper than tarmac.
I would have thought that even you, Maud, would have sufficient sense not to ride down a road that was covered in broken glass.
When I turned into that road, Doctor, that broken glass was still a greenhouse.
Oh, I see.
Now we're beginning to get something.
As I turned in, there was this man waving, do you see?
Waving now?
Well, I thought he were waving at the time, Dame Hilda. Though I has to admit he had a pickaxe in his hand. And his language were none too savoury.
That sounds like the chairman of the Highways Committee, doesn't it, Evadne?
Not if he was working, dear. No.
Anyhow, I waves back, you see, and I rides on by. And that's when all the shouting starts. Watch where you're going, and what the hell do you think you're doing? And one or two other things not quite so polite. And I looks round, and me wheels started to wobble. Now, I don't know whether you've ever ridden up and down one of them great high piles of chippings on a bike.
No, dear, I haven't, as a matter of fact.
Well, I have. And I comes down on the other side of that pile of chippings like a bullet out of a gun. And then I seed it right in front of me.
What?
A great wide trench dug right across the road. Damn stupid place to dig it. And across it were just one narrow plank. So I grips me handlebars and I grits me teeth. And wishing I'd had me brakes done after all. I steers right for it. And a crash I flies.
She can certainly keep ahead, can't you?
She certainly can, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I reckon I must have been doing a good 30 when I passed over that plank. So it's hardly surprising I didn't see that man's fingers now, is it? Well, you've not crazy, Dame Hilda. But there were a man stood down in that trench with his hand holding up the plank.
You mean swinging on it?
Now, don't be silly, Hilda. He's probably about to move it.
He were a great big strapping fella, that man in the trench. And yet he let out such a yell as I rode over his finger. Well, it were him yelling as made his mate drop his optar down inside his boot. Made the crane driver squeeze crane right round. Me never noticed in that house.
House more?
Ah, the one he demolished when he hit it with his crane. Ah. By this time, there was quite a little crowd gathered.
Several of them homeless by this time.
I were face to face with the steamroller. I see that driver winding his wheel like his life depended on it. And it were his fault that I fell off.
You hit him, did you, Maud?
No, I didn't, Doctor. I wove me way right round him, but I heard the crash as he hit the greenhouse and turned round to have a look. And that was how I first found out that that road was supposed to be closed. Well, I hit the back of the road closed sign at the far end.
And what exactly was it, then, that punctured your tyre, Maud? The broken glass, riding over the chippings, the encounter with the steamroller, or hitting the sign?
Oh, it were none of them, Doctor. It were the man the sign fell on. He picked up a fork and he plunged it in and the front wheel just went, tap! Well, I suppose I'd best be pushing off.
Well, you've got no choice, really, dear.
And if you'll take my advice, Maud, I should go home by a different route. They're probably lying in wait for you, folks at the ready.
Well, all I can say is, it's hardly surprising the motorways is in the state they are. It's the likes of them as builds them. Talk about Fred Carno's army.
Evadne, while she was here, you should have asked her to clean up that little figure you're so energetically polishing.
Don't be silly, Hilda. I wouldn't trust her to clean Nelson's column. Anyway, the grime's coming off gradually.
I say, Evadne.
What?
Get down.
Oh, not again.
Get down, he's back.
Hilda, do stop pulling. We'll have my skirt off if you're not careful.
What's he doing? Can you see?
He's walking along the other side of the road in a perfectly normal manner, with a carrier bag in one hand and a newspaper in the other.
Ah, it's what they call psychological warfare.
I always imagined that was rather more complicated, Hilda.
He'll keep on walking by, first one way, then the other, at intervals. And each time with a different object in his hand. A library book, a tennis racket, a banana. And anything is going to rattle me, no matter what he has in his hand next time he goes.
Hilda, why don't you just get up off the floor? I'll call a cab, and then we'll shut the shop and go home.
Wouldn't that be running away, Daphne?
Well, in a word, yes.
Let's do it, and fast. You know, Daphne, if that harp were ever to go from here, this room would really lose something, wouldn't it?
Yes, dear, an obstacle. Still, the figurine's going to be nice on the mantelpiece when I finish cleaning it.
And what about the boomerang and the hat of the cocks?
Oh, yes, perhaps, dear, but I don't really think they suit the bust of Bizet.
No, I think they'd really suit your room better, wouldn't they? You could hang them between the stirrup pump and the stuffed owl in that surrealist corner of yours. It's all right, Evadne. I'll go.
Oh, don't say Maud snapped her key off in the lock again. What on earth has happened?
It's him. It's that little Welshman. How dare he come here? I will not open the door to him.
I think you're going to have to open the door to him, dear. You appear to have caught his tie in it.
We'll cut it off. You'll never do it.
You'll do no such thing, Hilda. Now stand back and let me handle it.
Oh, hello. I'm ever so sorry. Give her a bit of a start, did I?
You scared the wits out of her, such as they are.
Well, you should get a chain on that door, you know, if she's frightened of strangers. Yes. Looks like you should have one at the shop of yours and all. I seen her keep diving down behind the counter this time someone went by.
What exactly do you want?
Have you still got that harp?
Yes, I have, and you're not having it.
Now, Hilda, let me...
Oh, caught you at a bad time, have I?
I'd like to see the day you caught us at a good time.
You see, I'm giving an harp recital at the Memorial Hall this evening.
Oh.
But when I got down there to rehearse just now, they told me the truck... Bringing my harp from Wales.
Not South Effingham.
I know. Sanamon de Flint Cairiog. I've an aunt in San Fifechan.
Well, you were wrong there, Hilda, for a start.
Oh, where does she think my aunt lived then?
Oh, just get on with it.
Anyhow, the truck had an accident, see, and they can't get my harp here in time. And I remembered you when you were up.
Oh, yeah.
And a very sweet lady, they all said, if you wasn't at the shop, you'd be at home. And that you had your harp at home anyhow. And she very kindly gave me your address, see, and I thought, I'd just pop up and see if I could borrow it for the evening.
Well, honestly, I've met some plausible rascals in my time, and I've heard a few cock and bull tales.
I beg your pardon.
You can tell that one to the Marines.
Well, I doubt it'd do much good, see, going to the Marines. Oh, I might be able to borrow a trombone or a tuba or even a bassoon, but I doubt I'd be able to get hold of an harp. An harp's a difficult instrument to march with, see.
We can do without your teeth, thank you.
Hilda, do let the man finish.
Oh, thank you, madam. I remember you was the sensible one last time. Pity that harp isn't yours.
That's right. Go on and dare yourself to me.
Look, if you want to check my story, you can check. The lady who gave me your address was the Honorable Lorna Durrenforth. Go on, phone her.
My dear sir, let me tell you that the Honorable Lorna Durrenforth is such a cultural snob that she would give my address to Bill Sykes if he told her he could sing bel canto in his dog dance the Sugar Plum Dance.
Give me strength. Look, have you seen this in the local paper?
What?
It's an advertisement for the harp recital at the Memorial Hall tonight.
Well, anybody can put an advertisement in a paper. They advertise Swiss cuckoo clocks, and when you get them, there's no cuckoo.
And I bet if anyone's an expert on cuckoos, it's you.
Might I suggest that if you two are going to shout at each other, we go in off the step.
My, and look at the accompanying article on the photograph. It's me, look, me.
Oh, yes, and isn't that what they call a mugshot?
And what does it say underneath, then?
Usually wanted.
Hilda, it says, David Llewellyn, the internationally famous harpist.
Yes, that's me, internationally famous harpist. And I haven't got an harp.
Mr. Llewellyn, I'm sure you will pardon my caution. But that harp of mine once belonged to Mrs. Dale. means a great deal to me, and I dare say that even internationally famous harpists have, on occasion, been known to go to the bed. Well, with both the Welshman and the Evadne against me, I was finally persuaded. But as I saw that man loading my harp into the back of his Japanese hatchback, an overwhelming sense of foreboding swept over me. After he'd gone, we telephoned the hall to try to get tickets for the recital. But they were sold out, so they said. So we sat and waited. The recital was due to end at 9, and he should have been back with us shortly afterwards. Oh, how time began to drag. 9:15 came. And 9:20. 9:21. 9:21 and 10 seconds. It was then that I decided to telephone the police. Hello? Oh, hello. Is that the police? Mrs. Dame Hilda Brackett here. Someone has stolen my harp. No, no, not my heart, dear. My harp with a P. A P! Trust me to get one with an infantile sense of humor. I don't know. He's a Welshman. Yes, I know there are a lot of them about. Yes, Wales is full of them. He's a harpist. He took it for a recital. Oh, well, he was a little dark man, shifty-eyed, sinister-looking. What do you mean, why the devil did I lend it to him if he looked like that? Look, just send someone along, will you? It's the old manse. Oh, with that, you're surely not still sitting there cleaning that figurine. You look like Aladdin rubbing his wonderful lamp.
Well, if a genie suddenly appears, I shall ask him to fetch your harp back for you.
I say, Evadne, something's just occurred to me.
What, dear?
Do you realize that every time you rub that figure, that Welshman appears?
Oh, stuff and nonsense, Hilda.
Just you think back. Both times at the shop, and again when he arrived up there.
Pure coincidence.
Well, you call it coincidence if you like. Call it fate. Call it destiny. Something is happening that we do not fully understand.
Rubbish.
There, you've done it again.
As long as it's not Digger Carew.
Hello, I'm back.
I see.
I'm ever so sorry I'm so late. They wouldn't let me go, see? No, just kept on cheering and cheering, they did. And then I had a puncture.
Oh, no. Everybody seems to be having punctures today. And they're such a letdown, aren't they? Still, I wasn't worried, Mr. Llewellyn. I knew my harp was perfectly safe with you. Do bring it in.
Oh, thank you.
Evadne!
What, dear?
Phone the police, would you?
Police?
Yes, yes. Just tell them we don't want them, dear.
All right, Hilda.
What, do you mean to tell me you have to phone them and tell them when you don't want them?
Yes, a special arrangement we have.
Oh, that's very sensible.
Isn't it?
Now, if you were just to get a chain on that door of yours, like I said, I reckon you'd be as safe as houses up here, you know. How often do you have to phone them to tell them when you don't want them?
Oh, just whenever we don't we, dear?
Yes, dear, don't we?
Well, I'll just carry this through for you, shall I? Put it right back where I found it. Are you sure you don't want to sell it?
Now, don't you start that again.
Oh, it's a real beautiful harp, this, you know. One of these days, I'll have it off you. I'm very grateful for the loan, anyhow. Put it here, shall I?
That's fine, lovely. Thank you.
Tell you what I'm going to do. When I come in here earlier, I see that little coral figure of yours.
Oh, yes.
It's one of a pair, you know. And I happen to have its partner.
Oh.
I'm going to send it to you as a little thank you present.
Oh, how very kind.
Mine was given me many, many years ago by a very dear friend of mine, an Australian.
Oh, I had an Australian friend.
Oh, I bet you didn't have one like mine. Digger Carew was his name.
Oh, God.
What do you know, Digger?
Do I know Digger?
Does she know Digger?
I've not seen him for years.
Well, he's coming across here in a few weeks' time.
No.
Yes, I'll tell him to be sure and look you up, shall I?
Oh, that would be lovely. Where is Ethne? You can say what you like about fate and coincidence. You're going to have to admit one thing, there.
And what's that, Hilda?
I certainly look like getting my £20 worth out of that old tea chest.
That was Harping on It, a further extract from the random jottings of Hinge and Brackett, written by Gerald Frau. To assist Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Brackett, as usual, we welcome Daphne Hurd as Maud. Our thanks also to this week's guest, Richard Davis, and to the members of the Stacton Trestle Music Appreciation Society for their contribution. Production was by John Dias.